1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and I'd like to read a few verses here tonight from this chapter. Chapter number 3, again, verse number 1. I believe I'll read down to about verse 15 this evening. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed? Even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than it is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you this evening that we can have in our hands this precious word. Our Father, we pray tonight for the power and leadership of the Spirit of God. We know that You're the author, but You're also the enlightener. You are the convictor. You are the comforter. Spirit of God, we pray that You might do Your work tonight. We not hinder it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. Well, the first things that we notice when we come to the book of 1 Corinthians is a church that has a great amount of division. In chapter 1, verse number 11, it says, "It hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." There was problems in this church. By the way, when you read the epistles, you will learn that every church had its problems. And those epistles were written to seek to correct those problems. And so you and I today, we have the wondrous Word of God, much of it in epistle form in the New Testament, because of the situations within these local churches. Understand from that as well, there is no perfect church. The perfect church will be formed at the trumpet. When you and I are called in the very presence of God, to be ever in His presence, and He is in charge of it all. But until that time, why, of course, we have our problems. And so we find here a church that was a contentious church. It's interesting that it's to these same people that the Apostle Paul makes the remarks he does about the preaching of the Word of God. In verse 17 of that chapter, it says, "God sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." And then he says this wonderful verse, "For the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness, but at us which are saved, it is the power of God." So these people, he says, preaching is effective. Now God chose a way to reach men. It's through the preaching of the cross. It is not that we might glory in the man who preaches it, but that we might glory in the gospel that is preached. For we find, as we come to chapter number 3, that they were glorying in the preacher rather than the preaching, glorying in those who delivered it rather than that which is delivered. God chose to reach us through the power of preaching. The Spirit of God reveals the deep things of God through the foolishness of preaching. Chapter number 2, we find that we see in this chapter some wonderful things about the wisdom of God. In that chapter, you notice in verse number 14, verse 13 says, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Notice in verse 13, "which we speak." But it's the Holy Spirit who takes and uses that. "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." God takes the things of the Word of God, uses preaching to bring it forth into the hearts of those who know Him and also in the hearts of those who do not know Him. But to these Corinthians, we find that Paul admits there is a shallow spirituality. To these in Corinth, he says, "I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual." He says, as a matter of fact, "you're carnal. You are those who are in need of milk as opposed to meat." And Paul here really condemns the fact that they have this lack of spirituality. I believe that he tells us here the reason for their spirituality is because they have, or the reason of their lack of spirituality is because they have a very critical spirit one of another. Verse number 3 says, "You're carnal, that whereas there is among you," what? "Envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Their superficial spirituality was shown by their divisiveness. Their emphasis, as we find from this text, was not on the message, but the messenger. Notice verse 4 again. "While one saith, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" Paul, he said, "I planted, Apollos watered." But let's understand something. He says, God is the one who gives the increase. And so the emphasis was in the wrong place. He wanted them to direct their thoughts in a new direction. He wanted them to see that it was about the Savior. It is about the Word of God, not really the messenger. It's about who God is and what He wants to do. And so we find in this text that Paul now goes to two kinds of illustrations. We find that Paul goes to that of the farmer and that of the builder. He goes that which is very easily recognized in that society and ought to be in ours as well. And the two questions I believe they're simply asked is, what are you planting and where are you building? What are you planting and where are you building? Tonight I'd like for us to stop and consider that for ourselves. What are you planting and where are you building? No matter how cute, no matter how intelligent we think we may be, there is only one agent, and that is the Holy Spirit of God in the matter of the Word of God getting into the hearts and lives. We're going into a VBS. We're going to do a lot of different things. There's going to be a lot of things that folks do that we look at and we say, my goodness, isn't that something? But really, when we boil it all down, all of our intentions is dependent upon one single factor, and that is the Holy Spirit of God administering that Word of God to the hearts of individuals. It doesn't matter if they are 6 or 60. It doesn't matter if they're like Noah and 500 or 600 years of age. It is the Spirit of God that is the necessary agent with the Word of God. In the book of John, chapter 5, and verse 24, he says, "Verily, verily." Those are two words that simply mean truly, truly. He's wanting us to understand this is very much truth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. How does it take place? Through the Word of God, as the Holy Spirit of God uses the person of God to speak to hearts. Are we important? Yes. Do we need to preach it? Yes. But it's the Spirit of God taking that word we preach. And so I ask today, what are you planting? What is it that we are giving forth in this matter of sowing? Go back with me to the book of Luke for just a little bit. Chapter number 8. The book of Luke, chapter number 8. And we find here a parable of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find this parable, I believe, four times in the Word of God, making it very important. Three times. And notice what it says in chapter number 8, and beginning in verse number 5, the Lord Jesus says this: a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Now, what is the important factor in this parable as we look at verse number 1? What's the important factor? I believe it's twofold. One, there was a sower, but the sower must have something even more important than himself. It is the seed. It's the seed. And so he sows it. Now notice where he sows it. It says, some fell by the wayside. Verse number 6 says, some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and have fruit an hundredfold. We find, of course, from this particular parable that he wants us to understand something very vividly, and that is, we have a seed and we are to sow it everywhere. It doesn't matter where we place it. It's a matter that we have it and we are to sow it on all types of ground. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever run into somebody and you thought, they will never listen to me? Have you ever thought that? I've thought that many times. I mean, have you ever looked at somebody at work or perhaps somebody in your family and you thought, well, if I talk to them about Jesus, they'll just turn me off anyways. But what's amazing is sometimes God has worked in those lives to the point that they are very fertile. We know not what is in the heart of an individual. And so our responsibility is to sow it. But what are we sowing? What are we sowing? Our job is to sow the Word of God. These Corinthians were reprimanded because they were not sowing the seed of the gospel. Matter of fact, they were sowing seeds of dissension that came out as griping and complaining about each other. And it was not that which was being helpful. It was a self-centeredness that will not draw the lost. My Bible says in John chapter 17 something very peculiar, really, but yet we understand it as truth. It says, the Lord is praying, says that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. He's comparing you and I as in a relationship like the Father is to the Son. And he says this, that they also may be one in us. And here's the reason, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. What we need tonight is a familiarity with the seed. And as individuals one together, sow that seed in that fashion. One of the things I love about VBS is seeing everybody working together. Everybody in a little different capacity, and yet all working together for the same goal. Whether somebody's making a decoration, somebody's picking up a kid on the bus, or handing out a flyer, or teaching the class, or being a helper, all doing and going in the same direction. And that is very, very needful. What are we sowing? Certainly we ought to be sowing the Word of God and not watered down in any way, shape, or form. Amen? But I ask another question. Where are you building? Where are you building? I've done enough building to understand a very interesting principle, and that is a building must have a foundation. It is not going to stand if there is no foundation. Under this building, before anything was ever done, the hole was dug. And you go down about 8 feet and go down in our basement. You look at the brick wall, it was right there. And underneath that brick wall was an area that men got together with a shovel. And they dug 2 foot wide and 1 foot deep in what I describe as gumbo. How many know what gumbo is? If you are a Southwest Iowan, you ought to know what gumbo is. It's that stuff that when you dig into it and it's wet, it is heavier than all get out. When it's hard, you'll break your shovel. And it's not good stuff, really. But it's down there. And we ran into gumbo. And so we're digging in this stuff. That summer was fairly wet, so it was wet as we were digging. And we get all that out. And somebody says, why didn't you rent a little backhoe and do all of that? How many have ever had advice after you did something? And all of your spirituality goes out the door. And you want to punch them in the nose. But after that was done, we brought in the cement trucks. And they began to unload their cement. And it went into those foundation area. And so 1 foot deep and 2 foot wide, all the way around the perimeter of this building. That's the foundation. And if you do not have that, your building will sooner or later collapse. You've got to have a foundation. So when we think about the building that we are to do as a Christian, Paul said in this chapter that he was a wise master builder. The building that we do must be upon a foundation. You and I today, we must build upon the foundation. The Lord Jesus Christ is that foundation. You and I, as we gather together as a church, that is the building. The building is often referred to in the Word of God as the church. Matter of fact, he's writing to a local church here. And so here's a building that is being built. And upon that foundation of Christ, we find comes this building. If a life is to be properly built, it must become a part of a body or a body of materials, if you please. You and I tonight, we are physical beings. How many know that? Many of you folks had an out-of-the-body experience. I wonder about folks who have those. And I've never had an out-of-body experience. My first experience out of the body is going to be at the rapture or death. That's what it's going to be. Just to clue you in, okay? And we are bound by a body. As a result of that, everything you and I do is in a body. The Bible speaks of a building. The Bible speaks of a body. By the way, the Bible all speaks of a bride. All three of those, a picture of the local church. And you and I are to be built within the structure of that local church. You and I are to build each other. By the way, the local church has some very unusual functions. We find that when we go to the Word of God, we find that people from local churches, they evangelized. And so as a local church, we are to evangelize. Where are we building? Well, we're building here, but we're seeking to reach out with that building. And to evangelize and to bring in more materials, if you please. And we are directed to do that together. We are to labor together. We're not only to evangelize, but we are to educate. We have a responsibility to educate. Matter of fact, this morning, we could take the same scripture from the book of Deuteronomy, and we could show that we are to educate, not in our homes, but in our church, the things of God. Now, as I look around this world, everything belongs to God. And so, for a Christian, it's got to be Christian education. I mean, seriously, you stop and think about it, there is no other way. We have to educate along the things of God. That's a job that's done from the cradle to the grave. We are, as God's people, to not only to evangelize and to educate, if we're going to build, we also must edify. Edify. You and I tonight, we need each other. I mean, it's a known fact. We need each other. We need each other to edify. This morning's message, really a great deal of what is said there comes under the heading of edification. as you and I gather together, we rehearse the things of God together, it is that which is going to build us one with another. And how we need that kind of emphasis in our lives. So what do we find? We find that God wants you and I to plant the seed. God wants you and I to be builders. And we find that we are laborers together with God. We have that tremendous responsibility. Now, how many here is an individual? I got to ask that question. How many here is an individual? I mean, are you with me tonight or are you not here? How many say, yes, preacher, I am an individual? That means you're one person. It means you have a body, you have a soul, and we trust you have an enlivened spirit. Okay? So you're here tonight. You are an individual. How many here tonight would also say to me, preacher, I, as an individual, am part of a family? How many say that tonight? I'm part of a family. Of course you are. If you're an individual tonight, it's because you have a mom and you have a dad. Okay? And you are brought into this world through that union. And so you have a family. You may have some brothers. You may have some sisters. You may get along with them. You may not get along with them. But you have family. It's just that simple. And if your dad or your mom had brothers or sisters, you have aunts and uncles. Okay? And if your aunts and uncles had children, you have cousins. This is a lesson that I'm sure that many of you never knew. And so this is very revealing tonight. But we have family. I mean, seriously, we have family. God placed you and I here as individuals within families. Families, likewise, get training within the local church. Did you realize that? We come to church. Most of you tonight, your families. You come to the church. What do you come for? To get some training. Now, there's a purpose in that training. And the purpose is that we might plant and we might build. That's the purpose. That you and I, as an individual, yea, as family members, yea, as church, we're drawn together. What's the purpose? That we might then work together in this matter of doing the purpose of the local church. Now, what's the purpose of the local church? Well, we looked at evangelism. One of the things that we have a responsibility as individuals, whatever it is, we have the responsibility through our local church to reach our community. And reaching our communities to hopefully reach our nation. That it might be, in our case, turned back to God. That is a tremendous need. We see that need tonight. And so you and I tonight, that is going to be done as we understand we are laborers together. We have a tremendous purpose, and that is we are to plant and we are to build. What are we planting? Is it the Word of God? Or is it something else? For the Corinthians, it was dissension. But we find with other epistles, it was other things. What are we planting is very important. Because you and I ultimately have a goal to reach our society for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I as an individual have a responsibility to reach the world. I as the father of my family have a responsibility to lead my family to reach the world. I as the pastor of a local church have a responsibility to lead my church to reach the world. Do we see that? We have that tremendous, wonderful responsibility to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Oh my goodness, wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to reach our nation for the Lord and see it brought back under godly principles? The Bible says in Proverbs 29, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Well, we know what people are doing today. It's because we have failed our job. We have failed it as individuals. We have failed it as families. We have failed it as churches. But brethren, we don't have to fail any longer. You say, well, preacher, the job is impossible. Well, my Bible says that all things are possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? If you were to go back into our American history and begin to study and look at where we had gone in the early or the late 1600s and early 1700s, you might wonder, how could have America been formed as she was? And it all happened because there were some people who began to pray and to work together. And God brought some tremendous revival fires into the nation. And God did some work. It can happen again. You say, but we have some tyrants. We had King George. I understand we have King Obama today, but we had King George back then. But we have the same God. And we have one who can do those kinds of things. What are we sowing, though? What are we sowing? Is it the Word of God? And where are we building? Where are we building? Important questions for us to stop and consider. For oftentimes, we're building other than where God wants us to build. There's a popular movement underway today, and it's a movement away from the local church. You know, there are literally thousands of people who claim to be Christian who are saying that God is no longer using the church. How many have ever heard that statement? It's literally being said by many. I heard a guy on television on one of the, I hardly ever watch him anymore, but on one of the major Christian networks saying, God is finished with the local church. I read statements to that very same thing this week in some articles I read. By the way, I don't find that here. God still wants to use us as we labor together, giving the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you a question tonight. Do you believe people can still get saved today? How's it going to happen? It's through sowing the Word of God. As you and I give it. As you and I are willing to take that Word and to teach it unto others. You know, every one of us have a responsibility to teach. Did you know that? I think that's in the Great Commission. I think that word is there. We might ought to look at Matthew chapter 28. We would see that. We have a responsibility to teach it in all the world. We have that responsibility locally. And we have that through our missionaries abroad. And that word still changes lives. We still have a responsibility to build. Build in lives. Build them around the Word of God. Seeing the Church of God as it's built upon the sure foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, tonight, help us understand very vivid principles here tonight. Lord, we so often walk away from our responsibility in all the areas that you've given us. Lord, you have placed us in this world and given us eternal life. And Lord, you have given us that through which we can labor for you. As we can build our families around the Word of God, as we can direct them into service to you in reaching the world. Lord, tonight as I hear the desire of a few young people who say, I want to go to the mission field, or I want to be a part of this, what a thrill it is to know that their lives have been built in that direction. God, multiply that for us. Lord, I pray more than ever before that we might unite our hearts together in the cause of Christ, to reach out into this world. Lord, do something in us. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.